He such a blessing to us to be here. Thankful folks come and listened. I hope you're hearing, not just listening, but actually hearing what's being said. And God can help you, give you some things in your life that you have need of. We don't know what we have need of. We think we do. But the Lord knows what we have need of. He'll give us exactly what we need in these meetings. That's why it's so important. A lot of folks understand the importance of being under preaching. It's lost today. It's gone today. Really, a lot of folks probably go to meetings and don't get help. They're not looking for help. When everything's perfect, why would you need help? And so a lot of folks aren't looking for that. But we're thankful that God's put us in this place. And of course, Brother and Sister Coons, thank you all for your hospitality to us, your kindness to us. It's been greatly appreciated. And it's not that we don't send thank you cards, but we don't. And so we'll just tell you thank you personally. And we certainly appreciate. And I had one church years ago, they got upset with me. Because I said, and the pastor told me, he said, you didn't send us a thank you card. And I said, well, I just thought Christians didn't need one, but I'll send one anyway. So I sent them one about 2 months late. I guess they felt better. I don't know. But we try to thank people in person because we do greatly appreciate the hospitality, the place to stay, the fellowship. It's been a blessing. And then even just the last couple of years, the Lord's put some of you in our lives. And I mean that ministry-wise, not some weird, quirky, personal thing. And that's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that God would put some folks in the meeting at Black Creek years ago. Of course, put us up in Vermont, and then we find out that Joe from Vermont is meeting up with the folks from down here that came to meet. That's not a coincidence. No coincidence we're here. God's just too involved in these things to be coincidental. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his working. I thank God for his stirring. And Lord willing, we'll head home tomorrow at some point, and we'll drift back towards the house and then begin a meeting on Sunday in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. And those of you that know us know I'm not used to preaching every day for six straight weeks, as well as doing podcasts and extra services on Sundays. It's a little bit unusual for us, so I'm kind of dragging the bottom of the barrel as far as my knowledge and as far as something fresh to preach. And I need that. I need that time to make sure I find something fresh, something from the Lord, not just recycled my stirrings and my musings, but something from God. And that's what we're asking the Lord to do even tonight. And I am going to go to Psalms in 142. Anybody that likes to finish the message in Romans, go ahead. You can preach here tomorrow at noon. We'll be gone, but you're welcome to come preach. In fact, I think if you talk to Brother Coons, you're probably welcome to use the building to preach anytime you'd like. Amen. Nobody may be here, but you can preach the message. I've had meetings like that where I was invited, nobody showed up. So I understand that. But we certainly appreciate what the Lord's helped us with in the book of Romans this week. And I want to go to Psalm 142 and just look at this. And again, we talked this a little bit about Sunday, just some of the rules of understanding prophecy. And David, that great prophet of God, and he says, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Now, J. Vernon McGee said this of that Maskil of David. He said, we don't really know what that means. Anyway, so just want to throw that out there. Just quoting J. Vernon McGee. That's what he said. I just quote him. I don't know what it means either. I have an idea. It's probably a prayerful rejoicing, a prayerful praise, because that was David's manner. That was the way David prayed, the way David sang, the way David preached. He was in the cave here. When David was in the wilderness, when he's fleeing from Absalom, when he's down feigning to be mad, when he's in the cave, he prophesies of Jesus Christ. It seemed like in his darkest days, he spoke of the Savior. And then when God gave victory over all his enemies, including Saul, then we see that great prophecy of Psalm 18, that great Psalm of David. But this is what David prayed when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord that I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him.
I showed before him my trouble. Now I realize that's just not filler. And that's one of the problems we have today is a lot of folks think that some of this is just filler. They think it's just a poem. It's just something beautiful to meditate on. And they close their eyes and put their fingertips together and they quote the Psalms. They kind of sway back and forth. And it's just beautiful words to them. But David was so much more. David was a great prophet of God. In verse 3, he says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Now I'm just going to throw this out there. Why was his spirit overwhelmed? Well, it depends on who it is. Then thou knewest my path, in the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Who's on his right hand? There's a thief. Refuge failed me. And really, here's a key verse, and this is all through the Psalms. Without fail, no man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. They nailed him to the cross, his soul being made an offering for sin. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I've said many, many times in preaching. Who worries about the land of the living? Well, someone that's awaiting the resurrection. Someone that's looking for life. Someone that's dead. You say, so how could someone dead be looking for the land of the living? Because he has a never dying soul. And those of us saved by the good grace of God, when we go to the grave, our flesh is going to rest in hope. But our souls, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be awaiting a resurrection. With that blessed hope and twofold, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And then if you're not convinced, let me just look at verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'm just going to look at one passage quickly. In Psalm 1 Samuel 22 and verse 5, and the prophet Gad said to David, abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. And David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. So I want you to know that David was in the hold when he was in the cave. David was a prisoner when he was in the cave. But the focus of this message tonight, and whether folks can get on board or not, is, I guess, up to them. But David is that great prophet of God when he said, no man cared for my soul. And Sammy Allen wrote that great tract before he passed away. The Father cares. Jesus Christ cares. The Holy Ghost cares. The church cares. The saints of God care. And you ought to care for your own soul.
Amen. That's good.
There is no one here that there's someone that does not care for your soul. The reason it could not be David is because he did have those that cared for his soul. But Jesus Christ made an offering for sin. No man cared for his soul. I'm going to look at a couple different things in this, and I do have references. And let me just go to Psalm 16 and verse 2. I'm going to just run this through quickly, but when he said, no man cared for my soul. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Again, oh my soul. In verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul, the offering of the soul of Jesus Christ in hell, right, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And he goes on in Psalms, again, we'll just stay in Psalms for a little bit, Psalm 42. There's more than this. This is just a couple I jotted down quickly just to look at this. But in verse 5 of Psalm 42, and by the way, this certainly is messianic. We see in verse 3, his tears have been my meat day and night. That's the sorrowing Savior. That's the weeping Savior. In verse 5, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Then he asks again in verse 6, he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. In verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Why his soul's been cast down? That's why his cry came before him, even into his ear. His cry came unto him in his holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God with my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So again, he asks over and over again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Can I say it in this wise? Every man really has threefold in his being. We understand that according to Scripture. That's why the word of God is the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There's those that teach soul and spirit of the same thing. Most colleges today teach soul and spirit of the same thing because Bible professors have never read the Bible. And so they teach what they call is a dichotomy. And that's really, you believe, twofold part of man. You have a body and you have a soul spirit. But the word of God came in the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Only God can do that. The word of God does that. Right. And now you have a body. That's your flesh. We talked about that this week. You also have a never dying soul. A soul that sometimes is indifferent. A soul that could care less. A soul by some that even feels cast down, as our reference in the Psalms. And you also have that spirit. That spirit that is within you. We saw both in our text. When he talks about being cast down, oh, my soul. Talked about his spirit being troubled, disquieted within him. There's a lot of folks out there today that just feel as though no one cares for their soul. They have a personal idea of what people should care about for them, and they don't understand that their greatest need is not monetary, it's not emotional, it's not psychological. You don't need a friend, you need the greatest friend. And that's Jesus Christ. That friend is still closer than a brother. And folks in an emotional state of disrepair and brokenness and wounds and hurting, and they feel cast down, they feel disquieted. Why? Because their soul is longing for something greater. Their soul within them is yearning for something more. And yet they won't search out what that yearning is for. They won't seek what that yearning is for. We spoke of it this week. We'll speak of it again without fear, without shame. It's why suicide is at an all-time high. People just feel like nobody cares. They're lonely, they're destitute, they're despondent, they're wounded, they're hurt. They feel like no man cares about their need. No man cares about, but the greatest thing that we can care about in an individual is for their soul. Because it is their soul that is going to live forever. It is their soul that when they die is going to be separated from their body and their spirit. And that soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is the second death. It's a death in hell. It's more than separation from God. It's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And that soul without Christ dies and goes to hell eternally. Those that die in Christ are present with the Lord. But you must be in Christ to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You must be born of God. So we're dealing with the soul tonight, that never dying soul. We're looking at the offering of the soul of Jesus Christ at some point tonight. But I just want to continue with some of these references about his soul. And this, we'll see it again in Psalm 42, Psalm 103. It's like an auctioneer there. I had to figure out where I was going to go. In Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This is a psalm of David. "And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And he said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." In verse 21, he said, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Again, we see the soul, the reference of my soul, very concerned over his own soul. And yet today, there are so few people concerned over the well-being of their soul. I believe folks mostly, for the most part, feel they're magically going to appear with God. Somehow they've done a good enough work. They've been good enough to come to Jesus Christ. And somehow they feel as though their separation has brought them close to God. There's no need of anything further in their life. They have all that they need religiously or pragmatically, even without religion. They're good people. They've never given one thought to their soul. Never given one thought to that one of these days they're going to die. Never prayed preparation for death. And it creeps upon them, and I've watched people go to the throes of death. They've lived wickedly their whole lives. They've lived without God their whole life. And I've watched them in the very time of their death look me in the eyeballs and say, "I'm going to be okay. Everything will be all right." But they've never given thought that one day their soul is going to be called into account. They've never concerned themselves with the condition of their soul. They've never thought about their soul. All they think about is the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of this world, friendships, buddies, all the false hopes the devil can throw at them. They never one time thought about their own soul. In Psalm 116 in verse 7, a messianic psalm, this is Jesus Christ when he's been offered for sin. That is Psalm 50, or Isaiah 53:10. His soul has been made an offering for sin. And he said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted." Two references. Of course, this is messianic. Certainly, it's Jesus Christ. And he said, return to thy rest, O my soul. Now, I want to look back at a couple of verses we just talked about in Psalm 42. What did he speak of his soul? His soul was disquieted. His soul had no rest. His soul has been disquieted in him. He's no longer at rest. He's in turmoil. He's been made an offering for sin. He's bare the iniquities of many. And by faith, he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Verse 8, thou hast delivered, that's faith, my soul from death. What does that mean? Well, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The promise of God. If you've ever sinned, your soul's dead. It has no life. That's why in Ephesians said, he hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually, you're dead. You didn't choose to do that. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That man was Adam. Death came upon all. We know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that we were yet without strength in due time. Christ died for the ungodly. If you're not ungodly, Christ didn't die for you. You have no need of a Savior. Scarcely for a good man one would die. For a righteous man one would die. For a good man some would even dare to die. That means, you know, you're a good person. Somebody might would give their life for you. Mother might lay down her life for her child. A father might try to save the wife of his children, his wife. He said, peradventure, some would even dare to die. But there's not a person here that would die for my sins. There's not a person here that would offer themselves for me. There's not a person here that looked at the awfulness of my life and the horrible things I've done and said, you know, I'll take his death. I'll take his penalty. But God commended his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing the condition of your soul, knowing you were lost, knowing you were dead in trespasses and sins, he came and gave himself a ransom. And he offered himself for your sin. Again, that's what the psalmist said. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Psalm 146 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. He said, praise the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. Let me ask you a legitimate question. When you sang early, did you sing praise from your soul? Or was it simply the motions of song? Did you sing praise from down within the depths of your soul? Because that's where praise comes from that glorifies him. It's not a work of the flesh, but it comes from out of the soul. How do you praise him? Do you praise him? Do you bother to praise him? Psalm 143 and verse 6. I will stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And then he says this, deliver me, O Lord. Again, no doubt messianic. No doubt it's the offering of Jesus Christ. He lifts up his soul to the Father, an offering for sin. Knowing that God would deliver him from those that were too strong for him, knowing that God would deliver him from those that had power over him, he submitted himself to that death, submitted himself to that offering. Let's talk about our soul for a minute. The soul that sinneth, the soul without hope, the soul without rest, the soul without comfort, the soul that cannot praise. Why is that? Have you ever considered what Jesus Christ did for your soul? Have you ever considered what he went through for your soul? In Psalm 142, I want you to notice three places. In verse 1, I cried unto the Lord, and this, with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord that I make my supplication. In verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. And then verse 6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. How low do you have to get before you'll cry out to God? How low must you go before you'll cry out to God? Let's go to Psalm 3. A psalm of David, again, when he fled from Absalom, his son. Remember, in his troubles and in his trials, he prophesied. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. When did he hear him? Notice verse 3. When they said of his soul, there is no help for thee. Then he cried, and the Lord heard him. How low do you got to go before you'll cry out? I've used the illustration many times of those that say they're lost. I'm about sick of hearing it. If you're lost, you'd be desperate. Some of you heard me use the illustration. I'll use it here. That man, I can't remember his name for the life of me now. He's out there in the needles in Utah. He's either in Bryce or Zion. I can't remember which park he was in, doing one of the trails. And he slipped on the rocks, and a rock fell and pinned his arm. Hundreds and hundreds of pounds pressed him against another rock. He stayed there through most of the night, couldn't move, couldn't do anything, yelled for help, realized there's no one coming through that little narrow crevasse in the rocks. Can you tell you how desperate he was? He took a penknife, Swiss Army type knife. He realized he was going to die, realized the exposure was going to kill him. He tied a tourniquet above, high up on his arm and cut off the blood flow. And began to take that knife and began to cut the muscles, the tendons, all through that arm. He realized to break the bone, he had to use great force. So he pulled and pulled. He couldn't do it. But I believe, if I'm correct, he finally took a rock. And as he strained with all of his might, he smashed that bone with a rock. That bone broke. There's that one last tendon hanging on. He said, if I can just get through this, I'll be free. And he cut and sawed and cut and sawed, and finally that tendon popped. His arm is lost in the rock, but he was free. He tied the tourniquet tighter, gathered what few things he had in his backpack, walked out to a trail where they found a man with blood dripping from a stump on his arm he had just sawn off. because he was lost.
Right, brother. That's right. Yeah.
If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out.
Yes.
If thine hand offend thee, cut it off. What is you going to die lost without? What is it keeping you from getting saved? What is that thing that's keeping you from God? That pride. Not caring for your own soul. The wretchedness of man's pride. The vileness of pride. And then to flip their hair and say, I'm lost. As though God's required to honor that. You know, more lost than my wife up in the nursery right now. Just because she's not in this room doesn't mean she's lost. As long as you got self-service, you're not lost. Just go ahead and say amen on that. If there's people walking by you on a trail, you're not lost. I've had people in the streets go and say, can you help me? I'm lost. I'm like, no, you just don't know where you are. You get lost, you're going to get desperate. You're going to get lost, you're going to get serious.
Right.
You're going to get lost, you're going to leave that arm on a rock.
Yes, sir.
I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. In verse 1 of chapter 4, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 66. It's become trendy or popular to say you're lost.
That's right, brother. You're right.
I've had them come up flippantly. I'm not saved. I'm lost.
Yeah.
You're not lost. You're just not saved. You still have a hope, otherwise you'd be lost. You're still clinging to something, otherwise you'd be good and lost. Still holding to some form of righteousness, otherwise you'd be good and lost. Are you listening? I tell you, when you're lost is when you get desperate. When there's no hope, when no man cared for my soul, he was good and lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not seeking people that are indifferent. He's not seeking people that are cold and dead. He's not seeking people that are calloused against the gospel. He's not seeking people to just go around using little words because it's trendy to use. He's seeking that which is lost. But not only seeking, he's seeking them to save them.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
How lost are you? Psalm 66 and verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. To magnify, to exalt, to extol are three different things. To magnify is to make to appear larger. To magnify something doesn't make it any larger. First time that little child looks through a microscope and sees that ant, and they scream and run. That ant's not any larger. He just appears larger. And that's when he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know why most folks have a real small opinion of God? So we magnify the Lord. And let us exalt his name together. What is exaltation? It's to verbally laud and praise because of someone in their rightful position. Exalt his name. He is the potentate. There's none higher. Jesus Christ the righteous. King of kings, Lord of lords. There is none higher. To extol is to put him in that position. When he cried, he extolled him. He put him in his life in that seat. There is no one higher than him. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And when you extol him, there's nothing in your life greater than he is.
Yes,
when he cried, He not only cried, but then he extolled him to his rightful place with his tongue. Now, there's many Bible examples. I spoke of one last night. Who art thou, Lord? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's not with your lips. A lot of folks call him Lord. He's neither Christ nor Lord of their life. But when you can say it with the mouth of your heart, and out of the abundance of your wicked heart, you can say Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You've extolled him. You put him in his rightful place. There is nothing higher. There is no one higher than Jesus Christ. He goes on to Psalm 138 in verse 3. And by the way, I'm not mad at anybody. It's just when folks are propagating error, it's my job as a preacher to denounce, rebuke, reprove that error and exhort you to righteousness. Tell me you're lost. I'm going to see you running to Christ. Then I'll believe it. Listen, I'm a man. I've never been lost in my life. I may not have known where I was. May not have had a clue where I was going. But I've never been lost in my life. I've been on roads where it's so dark and so dingy. The banjo start playing. The guy with no teeth comes out, smiles in my car when I go by. I ain't never been lost. Didn't know where I was, never been lost. Never had to call for a helicopter. Never had to have a search and rescue team. One thing I tell my wife, there's two ends to this road. We came in one end, we'll go out the other. And you know where roads end? On another road. You keep driving long enough, you'll never be lost. Are you listening? You keep driving long enough, you'll never be lost. As long as you got another path, as long as you got another exit, as long as you got another way, as long as you got another turn in your road, you'll never be lost. You'll just say it. When you come up against that canyon wall and the road washes out behind you and the boulders are falling and the bees are attacking you and the buzzards are circling your car, it might find a dawn on you. You know what? I'm actually lost. So what's the first thing out of your mouth? Help. Help! How desperate are you? Not too desperate. We still got it good. We still got money. We still got food. We still got health. Psalm chapter 30. No man cared for my soul. I will extol thee, O Lord. There it is again with his marvelous, marvelous words. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, that thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 8, that text. I cried to thee, O Lord. And unto the Lord I made supplication. Why did he cry? He's about to go down to the pit. That's why he cried. Psalm chapter 120. And by the way, when you're about to go down to the pit, you may cry, but it'll be too late. There'll never be another chance. When you see the dead, small, and great stand before God, those books are opened, your time is done. You'll never have another opportunity again. Doesn't matter how many people you told you were lost, you will be lost. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. And again, notice this, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. In verse 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. It's one of the keys, by the way. Your soul has dwelt so long with him that hateth peace that you don't believe there is peace. You don't believe God will give you peace. You don't believe God can give you rest.
Yeah, exactly right.
Many have testified after salvation. I've had some people say, in the beginning, this was real. They say, it's all just a show. It's all just entertainment. You can't have peace like that. But you can. You can't have joy unspeakable and full of glory, but oh, you can.
Amen.
You can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He'll give you that peace.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
That old unbelieving heart you dwelt so long. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried, notice this, with my whole heart. How desperate was he? Cried with his whole heart.
Thanks.
Verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me. Sounds like somebody's lost, doesn't it? And I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. Why does he cry? He has a hope. Because he believes God, he cries.
Amen.
You realize when you're lost, you're hopeless. Until you see Jesus Christ. And then you have every hope in the world. Despondent, depressed, hopeless, miserable. But then you see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all the fears flee. And all the troubling ceases. And all the distress is gone. We sang about it early. Master, the terror is over. Glory to God. The elements sweetly rest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember the day the terror ceased. I remember the terror was over. I remember the day that God himself came and visited me where I was. Wooed me to himself. Loved me with everlasting love. He said, there with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he said, peace be still. And the turmoil of my soul ceased. And I had rest and I had peace. Blessed be his holy name. But no man cared for my soul. Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave. Whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deep. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. But look at verse 1. I have cried day and night before thee. God's heard him before. God's heard him cry before. God's heard his prayer before. Can I say one of the places he cried? In the garden. When he sweated there were great drops of blood. He said, Father. Father. Father! Why? He's in travail of soul. His soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he cries unto the Lord. On the cross, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Before that, in Psalm 22, also seen at Calvary, says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He's cried before. Now he's gone to the lowest pit. But he said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He cries one more time. The Lord hears him. Psalm 107 and verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And then he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And notice verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. Is your soul even longing for him? Amen. Are you hungering for him? That bread of life? Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Right. When your longing becomes as such that you cry unto him and cry out to him, and then praise him for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. One thing I've said many, many times, we've tried to practice in our family, in our home, no matter how low you get, no matter how far from God you may seem, you ought to just get in the practice of lifting up holy hands and saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless your holy name. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Did you have breath this morning? You ought to praise him. I said, you ought to praise him. If God give you breath this morning, you ought to lift your hands and just thank him and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. There's two people had breath here this morning. What a disgrace. What a grief to God. What a sorrow to God. Even the congregation, when asked to praise him, folks can't praise him. They're so cold-hearted and dead-hearted. They could care less about praising God. They're so indifferent to him. They're not in the habit of praising God. They've never made a part of their life to praise God. Did God give you breath this morning? Then why don't you praise him? See, I wouldn't do that in church. That's because you'll do it in your private life.
That's right.
Doing your private life will carry over to the house of God. You ought to just thank him and praise him. God gave you life this morning. It's worthy to be praised. I don't care how miserable your life seems. I don't care how wretched you feel, how far from God you seem, how distant, how lost you may feel. You ought to just praise God for his goodness. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
When you cry unto him, he'll hear. You cry unto God, he'll listen. Verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God ever brought you out of the bands? God ever brought you out of the darkness? God ever cut the chains that bound you? You ought to praise him. You ought to thank him. You're not dead and in hell. You ought to praise him. Got breath in your lungs. You ought to praise him. Always worthy to be praised. You ought to be on your lips every day thanking, praising him. People are depressed because they don't praise him. They're sorrowful because they don't praise him. They're miserable because they don't praise him. Psalm 31 and verse 22. Blessed be the Lord, verse 21 of Psalm 31. For he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Let me just look at that cry just briefly. Psalm 18. What is the cry that he cries? In verse 4 of Psalm 18, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. That's the offer to the soul of Jesus Christ. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. And again, one more time, for the fifth time we've seen it, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And notice this next little portion. He heard my voice. We've been programmed today. We don't have to cry out to God. But you ought to. I said you ought to. You're not desperate enough to cry. Old Esau, when he found that he lost that birthright, what did he cry? An exceeding great and bitter cry. Why? He was just so despondent. The agony of his soul, he cried. That's Esau. They never found a place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Folks sit there tight-lipped, they won't praise him. They won't bless his name. They won't lift up their hands and give him the glory. But he heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even into his ears. Verse 41. They cry, but notice this. But there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. Who is that? Look at verse 40. Thou hast given also me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. You're going to cry one way or another. You're going to cry for mercy, or you're going to cry in suffering. Those souls cast into hell will not go quietly. It's weeping, it's wailing, it's gnashing of teeth. So why wouldn't we cry out today? Because we have everything we ever needed. Everything we ever want. We're not desperate. Psalm 22. Verse 24. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. That's Jesus Christ, by the way. But when he cried unto him, he heard. How desperate are you? No man cared for my soul. How desperate are you? Not too desperate. No tears, no sorrow, no weeping, no brokenness, no desperation. There's no cry. Yet he cried. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I believe he never ceased to cry from the garden till the resurrection. I believe he wept. The days of his flesh were strong crying and tears. Why? The things which he suffered had taught him obedience according to the word of God. And all how he suffered. He suffered greater than any man's ever suffered. And in Psalm 34, I know some of you have heard me talk about this, but I'll just mention Psalm 34 one more time. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. a fringe benefit of knowing him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. In verse 19, the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 17, the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Why is it different in verse 19? Because it's one person. And he tells you in verse 20 who it is. Not one bone of his was broken. Why'd they put that spear in his side? When right into his side, the prophecy was fulfilled and not one bone of his would be broken. So when the righteous cry, the Lord delivereth him. Who's the righteous? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And the Lord heard him when he cried. And the Lord delivered him when he heard him. Psalm 34:6 puts new light on that. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. Now, I don't mind you using that for your life verse. Because to be honest with you, that really is my life verse. Because this poor man did cry. I got desperate enough, I got despondent enough, I got low enough. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Never again to say no man cared for my soul. This young lady I know that was struggling with sin, wrestling with sin. And I approached her one day and just felt impressed to say something to her. And I said, I just want you to know that I care. And she just began to weep. And she said, I feel like nobody cares. I said, young lady, more than me, Jesus Christ had cast all your cares upon him. And he careth for you. More than I could ever care, there's a Savior in heaven who cares. A Savior in heaven has wept. A Savior in heaven has shed his blood, died for the sins of the whole world, and was in the days of his flesh with strong crying and tears to him that was able to deliver him, Jesus Christ. Why don't we cry? We're not desperate. Why don't we weep? We're not desperate. We're hard, we're calloused, we're indifferent, we don't praise him, we don't bless him, we don't thank him. So the tears are gone. If you're here lost tonight, regardless of any saved person here, regardless of their lousy testimony, the indifference of their caring, their lack of compassion, their lack of caring for you, can I say this? There's one in heaven that's already given himself a ransom for you. And don't you die and go to hell because you felt like nobody cared. Don't you reject Christ because you feel like no one cares. Because there's one that cares. There's one that held out his hands and died. Died for the sins of the whole world. Our text in Psalm 142. I didn't even scratch the surface tonight. It's probably a 3-hour message, to be honest with you. I'm not being funny either. And I'm no Dale Morey, so I can't preach 3 hours. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. This is masculine of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. What is his trouble? He found trouble and sorrow. He's been offered for sin. The snares of death have prevented him. The sorrows of hell have compassed him. The snares of ungodly men have made him afraid. That's pretty serious trouble. I can't remember the psalm off the top of my head, but in one place it says, horror hath overwhelmed me. The horror of dying lost. The horror of opening your eyes without God. The Christless eternity, judged a sinner, damned forever, without help. The horror. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path, and the way when I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. All the things we lay up as a refuge, and they all fail us every time. Brother, I believe as much as I'm standing here, the Lord just showed this to me just the other week. And I was looking at the shadow of his wings, the covering of his wings. And you know, we always think that old story, the old children's Bible, I was sure about that mother hen dying in the barn fire and there's chicks under her wings. It's a beautiful story. The songwriter wrote that song, Under His Wings. But I was reading that in light of some things I've looked at just recently. And I realized the covert of his wings, the shadow of his wings, is in that abiding place of God, that dwelling place of the holy. And I realized the shadow of his wings falls upon the mercy seat. Those two cherubim stretch out their wings over the mercy seat. It's the dwelling place of God in Israel. It's where God meets in that most holy place. And he said, I'll make my refuge in the shadow of thy wings. Underneath those wings is a mercy seat. It's where God meets with man. It's where God made a way for man. It's where God opened the door for man. Amen. Under the shadow of his wings. If you can just get to the mercy seat, friend, you'll have no trouble crying out. You'll have no trouble crying unto God if you just get to that mercy seat. Hallelujah. It's there the blood is. It's there the righteousness of God is. You see, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But there under the shadow of those wings, there's a place of refuge. There's a place of caring. There's a place of redemption. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then he said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, where at the mercy seat, and my portion in the land of the living. That's someone getting ready to check out. That's someone getting ready to leave. That's someone getting to come out of the grave, resurrect, to walk in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. How low? He said, to the lowest hell. That's how low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. That's the strong man. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You feel like no one cares? Can I plead with you tonight to tell you Jesus does care?
Yes, sir.
He cared enough to take all your burdens of sin and all your iniquity, and all your addictions, and all your filth, and all your uncleanness.
Thank God.
And all of your sicknesses and your diseases. And all of your iniquity, the things you can't even contrive.
Yeah.
And he bore them in his body.
Yes.
And then they nailed him to a cross.
Yes.
And there he suffered and died and shed his blood for you. That blood that's on the mercy seat under the covering of those wings. It was there that he shed that blood. And he gave his spirit back to the Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And his soul was made an offering for sin. It was in the lowest hell. It was in the lowest place of suffering, without God, in agony. The terrors have overwhelmed him. The sorrows of death have compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. It was there where the worm dieth not. I am a man, no worm. The Son of Man is a worm. According to Job 25:6, where the worm dieth not, the never dying soul of Jesus Christ was offered for your sin.
Right.
But then his cry came into the ear of his Father. And he said, the Lord heard me. And he delivered me. Hallelujah. By his own righteousness, he delivered him, according to Psalm 18. And he said, by the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. He that knew no sin. That's who'd been made sin for us. And God heard him and God delivered him. Brought him into a large place. And it's in that large place where the thief on the cross is sitting there in Abraham's bosom saying, he'll be here in just a minute. Amen. You say, where's that in the Bible? Oh, it's there. You just got to read it. Amen. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I believe all paradise stood. They looked across that great gulf and they saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That one they'd been longing for. That one they'd been waiting for. And he crossed that great gulf. He drew me out of many waters, brought me into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in we, having the same spirit of faith, I believe.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Therefore have I spoken.
Yes, thank
the
you.
Confidence of knowing yes, Christ. Right. To know you're not bound for hell.
Amen.
To have the witness of God.
Well, I'm telling you,
the witness of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord. And know for certain I'm not going to hell when I die. I can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. And I can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless his holy name. When the Lord heard, saw the captivity of Zion, he said, we were like them that dream. And it's been a dream, friend. Hallelujah. He said, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. What did they say in verse 4? The Lord hath done great things for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears. By the way, I wrestled with that. I didn't preach it, but I was real close. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Praise God.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Blessed be his holy name. That precious seed. Bringing his sheaves with him. When the Lord turned my captivity, he turned everything. I was that poor man that cried. But the Lord heard me. Now listen. There's a big difference between Psalm 34:6 and Romans 10:13. So don't sit there and nudge against the word of God and fight the word of God because of your predisposed ideals about calling upon the name of the Lord. Just cry out to God for mercy.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen. Well, we learned dispensationally, you're not supposed to call. Why don't you just cry out anyway? Why don't you just go find a secret place with God and get on your face? Just pour your heart out to him and say, Lord, no man cared for my soul. But that preacher tonight said, you cared for my soul. If you care for my soul, why don't you show me you care for my soul?
Yes, hallelujah.
And I believe that cry will come into his holy temple, even into his ear.
Yeah. Amen.
And by the way, when the cry of Jesus Christ came into this temple, even into his ear, the earth shook. And somebody says, well, that's at the grave. That's at the resurrection. That's when the stones rolled away. No, that's two great earthquakes. One, when he went in, and one when he came out. You know why? He's the creator of all
things.
That's
right, sure is.
When he entered into the earth shook. When he came out of the earth, brought captivity with him, the earth shook one more time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God himself had gone into the heart of the earth. By the way, Ephesians chapter 3 said into the lowest parts, plural, of the earth.
That's right.
He went preached to the prisoner, took captivity captive, took them to the Father. See, he that ascended is also he that descended into the lowest parts of the earth. Two earthquakes, two events. One when he went in, and one God lifted him out.
Hallelujah.
Resurrected unto life. Resurrected to walk in newness of life. That's our Savior. That's my Savior. And he wants to be your Savior.
Yes,
he wants to do that for you. You can cry if you need to. Well, by this point in time in the meeting, well, it wouldn't bother me one bit. You're so proud, so proud. Help! Too proud. What will they think of me? Probably a whole lot more than we do now. I know one thing. Somebody starts yelling help, run down the aisle. We'll talk about that for 30 years. Amen. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. If you can praise him from your heart, extol him in your heart, and then with your lips make it known. Oh, what joy to know Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, the burden of sin gone, clean conscience.
Glory.
To walk in holiness. To walk in the assembly of the righteous. It's truly a gift from God.
Amen.
For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not what I did, it's what he did. It's through faith. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing I can boast about, nothing you can boast about.
That's right.
It's all him.
All Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for your goodness to us. I want to praise you for your wonderful works to the children of men. You're altogether lovely. You are the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, that fragrant one. That beautiful one, that precious one. My God, we try to glorify you tonight. We relied upon the ministry of the Holy Ghost tonight to bring life from these words. And I pray that, Lord, you prick those that are troubled, those that are lost, those without Christ. I pray you'd draw them, you'd woo them, you'd speak to them. As only you can do. We'll do this with every head bowed, every eye closed, just a moment. This isn't a gimmick, it's not a game. But if you need help from God, it might help you to swallow your pride and come to a place of prayer. If you need help from God, tonight's the night. Before it's ever too late. Why don't you swallow your pride? That pride that's held you back. That pride that's locked you in. And just say, I need help. Get desperate.
Yes,
find yourself lost. You need to come, won't you come? Whether you're saved, whether you're lost. You need help, won't you?